Amen. Thank you so much, Eric. And I appreciate Eric. He always he's passionate about the Advent season and the Advent wreath, and brings life to it as well. So thank you, Eric. And it's so good to have you back. So welcome back. If those of you don't know Eric, get to meet him. I'm sure most of you know Eric. Well, good morning. Welcome. I see we have a lot of empty seats. I guess a lot of people are traveling Thanksgiving, or maybe they just ate too much. It's good to see you here and being able to praise God and worship. This morning, I'm going to focus on Thanksgiving and the gospel. And, you know, I think it is Thanksgiving weekend, but it's also we are thankful for what Jesus has done for us, and being able to celebrate that with communion as part of our service this morning. Let's pray together before we look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us now. We ask you, Lord, to fill this room with your presence. Encounter us, Lord. Challenge us. Encourage us. And may we be transformed by your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it was another Thanksgiving, and we were just, as a family, grateful to be able to spend it with some of our church family. We got to spend it with Brett and Gulnara and their family, and a number of other people from Grace Point. We had a large crowd at their house. It was so blessing. It's such a blessing, and thank you, Brett and Gulnara, for what we took over your house, and it was a blessing. You know, I'm glad that we live in a country that celebrates gratitude. Think about that. We actually celebrate gratitude, and I think Thanksgiving means so much to Debbie and I because we're immigrants, and we've been blessed by this nation in so many different ways. And the early pilgrims came to this country and we're blessed, and we're thankful for that. The word pilgrim actually means a person on a sacred journey in a foreign land. And as I read that, I thought, wow, that could be us. But I think that's all of us. The Bible says that this is not our home. We're foreigners here. We're strangers in this land, in every land. Our kingdom is not of this world. And so when you think about that, we're all pilgrims. And we're thankful and grateful for the things that God has blessed us with. You know, Thanksgiving is all about God. It's recognizing who He is and the blessings that He has given us. I love the fact that it focuses on nothing else but giving thanks to God. Now, it's strange that in our nation, in our world today, where God has been pushed out of the public square and largely ignored, who are they thankful to? Dante Rossetti once said, "The worst moment for the atheist is when he's really thankful and has nobody to thank." How can we celebrate this holiday if we don't know and acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? You know, the Psalms are full of songs of praise. They're full of thanksgiving, and they're full of many, many psalms that give glory and praise to God, as David and other psalmists have these anthems of praise and thanksgiving to God. And today I want to do something a little different. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to read together Psalm 103. It's a longer psalm, but will you stand with me? And we're actually going to read, today's going to be the focus on Psalm 103, but we're going to read it together. And I don't have a screen at the back, so I'm going to read from here. But if you will join with me, Psalm 103, is it up? Yes. Let's go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you. You may be seated. What an amazing psalm. What a wonderful way to worship our God. And that was worship, declaring who God is and all that he has done for us. You know, it's interesting to note, what is David thankful for in this psalm? What is he thankful for in the psalm? You'll notice that he doesn't give thanks to God for his family or his home or his riches. He doesn't even give thanks to God in the psalm for his throne as king over Israel. He doesn't give thanks to God for a lot of the things that you and I would immediately come to mind when we're sitting around the Thanksgiving table and say, what are you thankful for? He doesn't mention any of those things. Instead, he praises God for forgiving his sins, for healing all of his diseases, for redeeming his life from the pit, from crowning him with love and compassion. He's thanking God for satisfying his desires with good things so that his youth was renewed. David couldn't lose those things. The things that he was thankful for were things that God had given him that he could never lose. These were eternal gifts. You know, it's true for us, you know, I can lose my possessions, I can lose my house, I can lose my car, we can lose family members, we can lose things in this world. But David was thankful for the things that he could never lose. I cannot lose the things that David wrote about in Psalm 103. And Jesus emphasizes the same thing when he's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How thankful are we for the things that we will never lose? How thankful are we for the things that we cannot lose, the promises and the gifts from God? You know, David begins the psalm by praising God. Then verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is a crucial verse for us to always keep in mind. If we forget the blessings of the Lord, we quickly become ungrateful. If we forget the benefits that God has given us, we actually become people who focus on the things that we don't have rather than the things that we do have. How grateful are we for the things that God has given us? You know, psychologists and mental health experts will be encouraging us, telling us how important it is to be grateful, to be thankful, how important it is for our lives to live with thankfulness. It's good for our health. It's good for our relationships. Overall, it has many, many benefits. And it's recommended to have this habit of thankfulness. Now, you know, I really am a big proponent on encouraging people to grow in spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are vital for us as followers of Jesus. And I'm talking about the spiritual disciplines of prayer, reading God's word, fasting, giving, you know, the spiritual disciplines that we know are good for us. But I'd like to suggest today, what about a spiritual discipline of thankfulness? How about developing a spiritual discipline of thankfulness, being grateful for all the things that God has given us? I would suggest that this spiritual discipline, if we want to call it a spiritual discipline, it'll have an enduring benefit in our lives that will produce fruit. It'll produce a harvest of righteousness. You know, the Bible is full of commands to encouraging us to be thankful. And I believe these are our commands. They're not just suggestions. They're not just ideas that are good for us. Paul, writing in Ephesians 5, says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we know the Bible is very real. It's very practical. It doesn't sugarcoat life. And the Bible is full of examples of people that have suffered immense pain, hardship, struggles. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered while he was here on the earth. And the command to be joyful and to give thanks in all circumstances for everything doesn't mean to say we just ignore those hardships. Just put them away and just hide them and just don't even look at the hardships in life. Just ignore it. Make it go away. No, it actually says to be thankful through the hardships, to be grateful in spite of and going through the hardships. And the more we think about that, we more realize that we cannot do that. We cannot do that in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to give thanks in spite of going through trials and circumstances. Our thankfulness is not dependent on our circumstances. Our thankfulness comes through God's presence in us for the things that we cannot lose. We're thankful to God for the goodness of God. We're thankful to God for the gospel, the blessings that we have in and through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, the Psalms are full of thanks and praise. The Psalms are full of worship and adoration. At the same time, we see psalmists going through incredible sufferings and challenges. David often would begin his psalms crying out in pain. Sometimes he would be, if you know the term, imprecatory psalms, where he really says, "Lord, do away with my enemies. They're crowding in on me. Just make them go away." He had a tremendous amount of opposition and struggles in life. But as he focuses on the Lord and he hands the problems to the Lord, you'll notice his psalms always shift and they end up in praise and worship, giving thanks to God. Job was a man who suffered much. I'm sure Job suffered more than any one of us could possibly imagine as the Lord allowed Satan to inflict him. But even through it all, he praised God. Job chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was able to, in spite of all his challenges, praise God. You know, we can learn so much through the life of Job. We can learn that in every situation, in every circumstance, in every trial, the name of the Lord is to be praised. He is good, and that doesn't change. Back to Psalm 102, you know, our lives are very fragile. Our lives are very fleeting. The longer you live, the more you realize how short life really is. And we seldom remember how dependent we are on God for everything. We're dependent on God for everything. David writes in verse 13 and 14, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." In the next few verses, David continues on and says, we're like grass in the fields. We're like flowers that bloom for a day and then they're forgotten. Our lives are really short in the span of all of history. It's fleeting. But to God, you are special. You're one of his chosen special children. It may be fleeting, maybe full of trouble and challenges, but God loves you, and he sent his son to die for you. He redeemed us. He called us into relationship with Himself. He purchased us. Our sins, our prideful nature separates us from God, separates us from relationship with God, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, and because there's an empty tomb, our Savior lives, and we can live in relationship. Eternity, as I said a few weeks ago, eternity starts that day when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you begin that relationship with your Creator God. What a glorious salvation we have. What a wonderful gift we have of salvation. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate communion, and we'll remember what Jesus did, what He went through for our salvation. He was a willing sacrifice. All we have to do is repent, turn away from our sins, and invite Jesus Christ to be Lord of our lives. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us." Think about that for a moment. How far is the east from the west? Now, you know where the North Pole is. You know where the South Pole is, right? But the distance between east and west is infinite. God has removed our sins infinitely far away. In other words, they're gone. It's not like God said, "Okay, here's your sins. I'll forgive you, and I'm going to bury them here somewhere, you know, where we all know where they are, but they're buried. And one day, maybe we'll dig them back up again." That's what Satan does. But God says, no, they're infinitely gone. Forever. Never to be brought back up again. What a gift. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. Tim Keller, he wrote, "The Christian gospel is that I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me. Yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me." This leads to deep humility and deep confidence at the same time. It undermines both swaggering and sniveling. "I cannot feel superior to anyone, and yet I have nothing to prove to anyone. I do not think more of myself or less of myself. Instead, I think of myself less." There was a young girl in 1822 by the name of Charlotte Elliott, and she was an invalid from youth and struggled to get around, and she always had problems with her health. And one day a visiting preacher came to her church and shared the gospel. And when he had finished preaching, she went up to him and she was angry. She just unloaded all of her anger of all of her years of struggling to get around on him. And the preacher just stood quietly as she unloaded all of her burdens and her anger and her frustration. And when she was finished, everyone thought, well, he's going to show compassion. He'll put his arm around her and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through troubles." And he said, "No, I want to challenge you. Give your life fully to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." And she got really mad at him. She got really angry because he didn't seem to care for her immediate problem. And so she left, and she was really angry, and he didn't know the end result of it. But a few years later, she gave her life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And she began the process of becoming a follower of Jesus in every aspect of her life. It didn't change immediately. She still struggled to walk. She still struggled with her infirmities and her struggles. Her brother, on the other hand, became a well-known preacher, and he was traveling all over the place preaching. And one day, the 14th anniversary of her becoming a Christian, she wrote a song. She decided to write a song. And some of you may remember the words. "Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." That song is "Just as I Am." And it's a hymn that's been used for many altar calls. Many evangelists use that hymn. Billy Graham used that hymn. Thousands upon thousands of people have responded to Jesus Christ while that hymn was being sung. So one day they asked her brother, and they said, "What is the fruit of your ministry?" When he was much older, and he said, "Well, I had some fruit that I could see from my ministry, but my sister, thousands of people have come to know the Lord because of a song that she wrote." God was able to use her testimony. God took her testing, her trials, and used it for his glory. That's something to be thankful for. Have you been around truly grateful people? Have you been around people that are just absolutely lit up because they're just grateful to be alive? You know, it's amazing that you can have two people in the same circumstances, the same situations. One will be very grateful, and the other one will be very pessimistic. The one will be hopeful, and the other one looking down on everything and saying, woe is me. In the same situations, but completely different outlooks on life. The difference is gratitude. The difference is a perspective on thankfulness, what God has given us. Many of you know Roseanne. She plays for the early service, and she was there this morning. If you know Roseanne, every time you ask her how you're doing, when you greet her, she says, somebody must know, blessed and grateful. She would always walk in the office, hey, Roseanne, how are you doing? Blessed and grateful. That's her immediate response. What a great way to have that outlook of being blessed and grateful. You know, praise and thanksgiving make all the difference in life. Each moment that we have is a precious gift from God. Every single moment that we have, we can choose to be grateful, we can choose to live with thankfulness, or we can choose to be negative, to look at the things that we don't have, rather than what God has blessed us with. And, you know, we can live every moment simply because God is good, simply because he loves us. You know, we have to agree, we got a lot to be thankful for. You're sitting on comfortable chairs. I've sat in many churches where the pews are not really comfortable, just saying. You all kind of drove in cars to get here, right? Nobody had to take the train and three buses to get here. Nobody had to walk long distances to get here. We're blessed in so many ways. We have fresh water to drink. We have access to health care and education options. When you turn on the hot water, it takes a little while, but you get hot water at home. I know the Almendarez family are really blessed to have hot water right now. Just ask them what it's like to not have hot water for a while. They'll tell you. It's a real challenge. But, you know, we live a lifestyle full of convenience. Last night, I got a call from Matt. So he's driving down, and we went down to visit Tom and Joyce in Oklahoma. And he didn't know you needed cash to go through the toll gate. So he had his credit card, and he was stuck on 44 Big Cabins toll gate, and they wouldn't let him through. He had to pull out of line and figure out a way to go and pay for it. And he was so frustrated. He said, this is America. How can I not have to pay with cash? We complain about things. We take things for granted. You know, we complain about having a dirty house and having to clean. Well, we have a house. We complain about the gas prices. Why do we complain about gas prices? Because we have cars. We are blessed far beyond so many other people in the world. In fact, the majority of people, we are blessed. But you know, being thankful is an act of worship. It's an act of worship because we remember where we get our gifts from. We acknowledge God in thankfulness. So here's a challenge for you this week. As you go about your day, practice gratefulness. Practice thankfulness for the little things. So go through every day and ask the Lord, or just give thanks to the Lord for those little things. Your cup of coffee in the morning, safe travel to work during the day, a phone that you can call friends. Be thankful for the little things that you have in life. When Debbie and I and the children were in South Africa, we decided to start a journal where we would journal daily kisses from heaven. And what we meant by that was just little things that God gave us, little blessings that he gave us every day. Sometimes it was just, there was a free thing, or, you know, we asked for some ice cream and we got a whole lot more. There were just so many little things that God blessed us with. Good weather, perfect weather for a particular outing that we wanted. That was a kiss from heaven. And we became grateful for everything as we started looking for the ways that God blessed us. Why don't you thank the Lord for the little things? Begin worshiping Him daily. And you realize that as you do that, you'll be praying without ceasing. You know, when you're grateful all the time for the little things and you're thanking God, you're having a dialogue with God. You're praying without ceasing. That's scriptural. But we look at that verse, pray without ceasing, and we sometimes think, well, that means I have to sit on my knees and ask God for things all the time, never-ending praying without ceasing. No, it's relationship. But if we read that verse in context, where Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's actually one sentence, is verse 16, 17, and 18. Verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see the context of praying without ceasing? Rejoice. How often should we rejoice? Always. We pray without ceasing. We give thanks. I want somebody to say it. How often do we give thanks? In all circumstances. Continuous. Why? Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. So if it's the will of God, and God is our Father, and He wills for us to give thanks and to praise Him all the time, He knows it's good for us. God doesn't tell us to do something that's not good for us. He's encouraging us to live a life of thankfulness. In praying without ceasing is giving thanks without ceasing, constantly, thanking the Lord for everything that He has given us. And I believe that, again, getting back to that, if it's a spiritual discipline, it'll produce a harvest of righteousness. It's good for us to praise God and to thank Him in all circumstances. So what I want to do now is we're going to enter into a time of the Lord's Supper and communion, but I want us to pray right where you are. Just pray out one sentence, just take turns, not everybody at the same time, but pray out loud one sentence prayers of thanksgiving. Just corporately, we're going to do that for a few minutes, and then I'll close in prayer. Okay, so who's going to begin? We'll just pray. Thank you, Lord.